need a break. Relax. Grab a coffee. And join the conversation with Mariska on Two Sugars.
To have your company this Wednesday afternoon. We are back. Both Irene and me are back. And of course, just especially for Irene, I did put on another Ed Sheeran song, Photograph. So yeah, great way to start our afternoon. So Irene, you're back. I'm back. Woohoo!
I know. It's wonderful. I've been wondering where the heck you are. I've been getting worried about you, actually. It's been so long.
Isn't it nice? You know, sometimes you just need to go for a long holiday. And we only went across the ditch. But I'll tell you what, Irene, something that I had thought of is the way you solve problems back home don't sometimes work when you go to a new country. Like, your knowledge kind of is almost redundant. And I teach a lot about this in my cultural courses, but it was really interesting. So we had a four-wheel drive. So, you know, we went over to Oz and we did four-wheel drives most of the time, probably 70% of the time on gravel roads. Now, gravel roads in Australia are quite different to gravel roads in New Zealand. And we'd read in the brochure, if it rains, stop, wait till the road dries. Yep, fair enough, we got that. Firstly, how do you define rain? If someone said to you, when it rains, stop, if it started drizzling, would that be raining to you?
I guess, knowing Australia, what they mean by rain is what we consider a deluge, I think. But anyway, go on, you tell the story. What happened?
Yeah, no, well, you see, drizzle's just as bad. So we're going along and we're on one of these gravel roads and it's drizzling away. You know, just the window wipers just intermittent. And, you know, it was a little bit slippery in places, but nothing drastic. And keep going. And then this local fella comes the other way and he stops us and he goes, oh, where are you headed? And we went that way. He goes, no, you're not. He said, you won't get through. And we're like, And so the roads just turn to mush. So a gravel road in Australia is not what a gravel road is here. You could have torrential rain here on a gravel road and still travel along the gravel road and, hey, maybe you get a few potholes. But it just turns to mud, mush, mud. It's incredible. And so you drizzle, whatever it is, you have to stop. Otherwise you just make an absolute mess of the roads. And they close them. The road we were on was kind of a bit of a back road, and it was funny because both Jeff and this other fella got out of the car, and by the time they got back into the car, you know, their boots were caked, absolutely caked with mud. And so he just made sure that we could turn around safely and followed us kind of a bit further back down the road, but they just turned to absolute mush. It's incredible. Oh,
so it's just total mud was that dries out hard and they've got gravel on the top and then it just turns to mud again. Do they have to turn around and put more gravel on that road to make it passable once it's dry?
No, it just dries off. And then, I mean, obviously the roads that the grader comes through, I presume, every so often, but those types of roads, no, we've been on plenty of roads where there'd obviously been rain and people had been on them and got stuck because you just have to find a way around the big pothole that's left, quite simply.
So where did you have to go to wait it out?
We ended up managing to get back to, I'm just trying to think. We were back to the town that we had left. We were actually looking at the dinosaur stampede. So Australia's got a bit of a dinosaur history, which was really interesting. And so we'd gone to see the dinosaurs on all the footprints and the, relics. They're not relics. Oh, you know, when things leave. Anyway, where all the footprints were. And, you know, so we went back to, and then had to the next day, wherever, I can't remember where we were going, but we used the Tar Seal Road to get further again. But we did have to wait 1.5 days at some place because it was raining and they had closed the road. And you get massive, massive fines if you go on the road when it's closed.
Well, I can understand that because it would mean that the locals who rely on that road wouldn't be able to get through if you've dug it up and made a pit out of it and made it impassable. My goodness. Well, I hope the weather forecasting was good enough for you to be able to plan your trip and not have to turn back too many times.
Well, you see, this is the thing. I think the one piece of advice I would give to anybody actually that went is to be a Starlink customer because there is no reception. There's no reception out there. I mean, well, you get very, very little reception. And so to be able to, you know, or have your two-way radio, because otherwise there's no way that you can But no, you know us, we're just like, well, we'll just go along and whatever happens, happens. And yeah, so a couple of times that the road was closed, so we just stopped and you wait and, you know, you go to the information centre and they'll let you know when it's open again. And yeah, away you go again.
So, well, it sounds like they've got the roading system well organised to be able to stop you before you get out into the mud.
Well, that's interesting because the roads obviously are so, you know, it's thousands, hundreds and thousands of kilometres. So if you were halfway through, if it really, really rained, you would just have to stop yourself, you know. But, yeah, they close them. But again, and this was another interesting thing that they told us about that I didn't think about, it doesn't have to necessarily for some places to, not just actually for the road, but to rain in that particular place you're in. But if it rains 1,000 kilometres up the valley and then the water's going to come rushing down, they can close the road.
Yes.
These are just things you just kind of think. And roadworks. I know listeners out there, I'm going on about roads, but this is just incredible. Their roadworks are like 30 kilometres long at once. And they just bulldoze a road beside the road they're making, so you go along the bulldozed road. How about that? Isn't that clever?
It's very clever, and it probably saves them an awful lot of money as well.
Yeah, no cones around there.
Hey, was your four-wheel drive one, was where did you sleep, on the roof or in the back?
In the back, so it pushed up. So, yeah. And they're very well kitted out. They're kitted out exactly for what they are, a four-wheel drive adventure. So they were actually kitted out really well, you know. And so with the roof popping up, it meant that during the day when it was down, you could, you know, you didn't have to worry too much about going under trees or anything because actually, you know, you weren't too much lower, too much higher than the actual cab itself. So, yeah. And then all of the, although I must say this, and any of you that have been to Australia, you'll know sometimes the nights are pretty cold. So you might have lovely warm days.
Yeah.
You know, the vehicle came with linen and one duvet. And so the first night, and this was just out of Brisbane, so it was interesting. I think it was a little place called Ipswich. The first night we stayed, we freezed our bloody boobs off and our wallets off. My gosh, crikey dick. So the second day in Australia, straight down to Kmart, pillows, duvets, more sponge.
Finish me. I would have thought you and Jeff would have been very snug in the back of a four-wheel drive. It's not exactly very big.
No, the bed size was a queen-size bed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it kind of came up above the cab. Yeah. You know, so it was actually, yeah, it was quite roomy for what it was. But I do remember actually, you know, the first night, oh, that's one of those really hard sponge mattresses. And we thought, no, I'm not spending 6 weeks on a hard mattress. Now, I know some of you out there will be going, oh, you've got to have a hard mattress, Mariska. No, I don't. So anyway, we popped into Spotlight and sponges is not actually, it's not that cheap to buy. But anyway, it was on special. It was 50% off. I was like, yay. And so I went up to the counter and I said, now I'm a Spotlight member in New Zealand. Does it translate to here? She goes, oh, she said, I don't know. Let's have a look. And so she tried my name and she tried my phone number and no. And I said, oh, bummer. She said, don't worry. She said, we'll put you through here as a member. And I thought, oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
That was really cool. Yeah. So,
because it is the same company. But yes, there's nothing. I mean, how long have I had my camper bed? For yonks and yonks and yonks. And mine is just a foam rubber mattress.
Yeah.
And I'm an old lady, so, you know. But I've got a, what's it called? A dual cell or double cell foam. And it's about a good 6 inches thick. It's really deep. But I love it. It's just as comfortable as the $1,000 mattress that I've got in my flat. I think I had a conversation about this many years ago on the radio about how the mattresses that they sell you in all these soft furnishing places are so expensive, and my double cell foam mattress is just as comfortable.
Absolutely. Yeah. But it was really good that, you know, and I think with anything like this, if the first night was great because we started to figure out what we needed, and there was actually plenty of room or storage room within it as well. So we went to your favourite shop, Irene. We went to Costco. So,
oh, great.
There we go. There we were in Brisbane, went into Costco and just loaded up with just rice and pasta and tomato sauce stuff and, you know, stuff like that that we knew we'd need.
Hold on a minute. How could you go to Costco when you're not a member of anything?
Yeah, we are. I told you ages ago. Oh, you made us.
Did you? No, I forgot.
Yeah. So we, and that was the cheapest diesel, actually. It was $1.60 a litre of diesel. So, yeah, that was the cheapest diesel we had in Australia. So
there you go. I still do the maths on my Costco shopping, and every time I go to Auckland, I always religiously fill up as soon as I get there and before I leave. Because it just does pay for my membership.
Yeah. And it is so much cheaper. And it was quite easy to be able to buy bulk stuff because we knew we could store it. And we weren't going to be anywhere where there was shops. It was nice to have a fridge because at least you could grab, you know, some fresh stuff. And it had one of those ice boxes in it so that we could put, you know, we could put a little bit of meat in there.
So I'm definitely thinking a different vehicle to what I thought you were in. You weren't just in a normal four-wheel drive. You were in some sort of a mini camper van type thing.
I don't know. What is it? It was a Toyota Hilux.
Yeah.
But just kind of like had a box on the back, if you like, that it came over the cab a little bit. Yeah. I'll pop a photo up on our Facebook page so everybody can kind of see what I'm talking about. But, yeah. And we certainly use the four-wheel drive, quite a lot. So, heap of fun.
Well, mine's a Toyota Hilux, but it isn't four-wheel drive. So you were in something very similar to mine.
Oh, there you go. Well, I tell you what, I've seen your little Toyota, and I tell you, you wouldn't be getting anywhere to where we went.
I'm sure you probably didn't have that extra thing on the top of it that mine got, you know. You had just the straight van. It would have been great.
Mm. Yeah. No, it was kind of, I suppose it was more a ute with a thing right back of it. Anyway, we'll pop a picture up there. So, So, and I think it's important for all of us out there, really important, isn't it, just to take a bit of a break. Go on holiday. Doesn't matter whether it's down the road or wherever. It's a good time, isn't it? We need a break.
I totally agree. The only problem is that I've got three trips, Norway, Vietnam, Cambodia and Canada, all being planned and organised in my computer at the moment, which is absolutely ridiculous because I can only go to one, you know. I can only go to one, and by the time the next year comes, all that organisation is going to be a little bit out of date, you know, so I just can't make up my mind which one to go to.
You might just have to put all three on the wall and throw a dart at it and just whichever one. Yes.
I know. Every time I decide, right, I'm definitely going to go there, and I start working harder on that one, then something will come up and it'll go, oh, right. Well, maybe I should go there.
Have you been to all of those countries before? So you've now got to figure out.
Okay. I've never been to Norway before at all. I've never been to any Scandinavian country. And so that's quite interesting with the time of the year and that. But I want to do things like when I go to Norway, I want to go and see the lights and everything. So organising the extreme cold weather clothing, etc., that I'm going to need to do if I want to do that, because it's in Norway's winter, which is extremely cold. So that adds an extra dimension to that travel. I've been to Vietnam before, but never to Cambodia, and only briefly in my boat to Vietnam. So I really didn't. I think I was there for 3 days, so it's relatively new. Canada, I've been to Canada through the Great Lakes system from Nova Scotia up all the way through into up to Chicago, which was amazing, but I haven't done any of the rest of Canada. So, and I've got so many friends over there that I keep promising and promising. But the times of year that is best for Canada is actually our summer here, or moving to our summer here, which are my best times that I love here in New Zealand. So, yeah, I've got these conundrums going on.
Do you know, there's going to be one of our listeners out there is going to be a travel agent, and she's going, oh, she'll be sitting there going, oh my gosh, Irene, I could get you to all of those three countries and you could have summer for a year.
Maybe that's... Well, that would be lovely. That would be lovely. I would love that.
Yeah, maybe that's the trick. Kind of just keep going round them and you'll just keep on with that summer. So, yeah.
I went for quite a lot of years where I never had a winter at all. You know, it was like I'd be working for families, and where it was winter in Europe, I'd be over in the Caribbean or down to New Zealand and so on and so forth. And I went for, I don't know, something like about 5 or 6 years where I never, ever had a winter. Yeah. And all my winter clothes were stored at a girlfriend's place in New Zealand, and they weren't used for so long that I ended up by having to throw them all out. They were just all smelly and mouldy, and well, not so much mouldy, but and so old, you know, so out of style that just ghastly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, those days are gone, I wish.
But that's it. I mean, that's it. So everybody out there, think about what can you do. Yeah, I mean, it's winter. We're coming out the other end of winter this spring. But take a break. Go and take a break. Think, where can you go? And as I say, it doesn't matter if it's down the road or you're going to jump on a flight to somewhere. It's time for all of us just to take a break and ready to spring into step as that sun starts shining again. Hey, let us know where you're going. We're going to keep an eye on where Irene's going, but we're going to see you the same time, same place next week. And taking us out today, Cindy Laufer with Girls Just Want to Have Fun. Catch you later.